Good afternoon. Like she said, I'll be talking about the epidemiology of varicella disease in New York City from 1990 to 2005. This is just an overview of my presentation. I'll talk about varicella, the disease, complications, and the varicella vaccine. I'll discuss the data sources for my project, the methods, the results, and the conclusions. Varicella is an acute infectious disease caused by the varicella zoster virus. The varicella zoster virus is a DNA herpes virus. Primary infection results in chickenpox, and recurrent infection results in reactivation of the virus results in herpes zoster, commonly called shingles. Today's presentation will focus on primary infection of varicella. Varicella is highly contagious and occurs worldwide. The virus is transmitted via respiratory secretions and person-to-person contact. Replication occurs in the nasopharynx and regional lymph nodes. The incubation period is 14 to 16 days. And this is a picture of an individual with primary varicella infection. The picture shows lesions in many stages, including macules, papules, papular, and vesicular lesions. The rash generally appears first on the head and is most concentrated on the trunk. Varicella is usually mild and self-limited. However, occasionally, there are complications from varicella infection, which may lead to hospitalization or even death. During the pre-vaccine era, there were 11,000 hospitalizations annually in the United States and 0.4 deaths per 1 million population. Additional complications of varicella include the following: bacterial infection of skin lesions with staphylococcus or streptococcus, pneumonia, central nervous system manifestations including aseptic meningitis and encephalitis, Reye syndrome, a rare complication that can occur in children who take aspirin during the acute illness, postherpetic neuralgia, which is a complication of shingles, and congenital varicella syndrome, which can occur if there's primary maternal infection in the first 20 weeks of gestation. In March 1995, a live attenuated varicella vaccine was licensed for use in the United States. In July 1996, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommended use of this vaccine. The recommendation included a one-dose schedule for those 12 months to 13 years and a two-dose schedule for those 13 years and older without history of immunity. In 2004, varicella cases had decreased by 85% since 1995, according to data from active surveillance sites in the United States. An increasing proportion of cases are a result of breakthrough infection or infection in a previously vaccinated individual. In June 2006, the ACIP voted to recommend a routine second dose of varicella vaccine at 4 to 6 years of age. This data is from the National Immunization Survey. The graph shows the estimated coverage rates for single-dose varicella vaccine among children 19 to 35 months of age in New York City from 1997 to 2006. Coverage was at 20.4% in 1997 and peaked at 91.5% in 2003. In 2006, coverage was at 89.4%. In order to investigate the epidemiology of varicella-related hospitalizations in New York City, New York State hospital discharge data was used. The database used is called the Statewide Planning and Research Cooperative System, or SPARCS database. SPARCS is run by the New York State Department of Health, and state law requires that inpatient data be reported by all Article 28 facilities certified for inpatient care. SPARCS data is compiled into annual data sets, and this evaluation focuses on New York City hospitalizations only. Diagnoses are ICD-9 coded with a principal diagnosis and up to 14 additional diagnostic codes. Additional data sources that were used in this report were the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's Office of Vital Statistics helped in compiling data on varicella-related deaths from death certificates, and rates in this evaluation were calculated using the United States Census Bureau's population estimates. We define varicella-related hospitalizations based on ICD-9 codes. A principal varicella diagnosis means that there was a varicella ICD-9 code in the principal diagnosis code position for that hospitalization. For other diagnosis, a varicella code could be found in any of the 14 other diagnosis code positions. Varicella hospitalizations that also had a herpes zoster ICD-9 diagnosis code in any position were excluded for this analysis. Our definition of immune compromised includes hospitalizations having an ICD-9 code in any position corresponding to the following conditions: HIV/AIDS, leukemia, malignancies, blood dyscrasia, and childhood immunodeficiencies. This slide shows the trend of varicella hospitalizations from 1990 to 2005 by principal diagnosis or other diagnosis. So principal diagnosis is the blue line and other diagnosis is the pinkish line. The trend for varicella as a principal diagnosis or other diagnosis looks the same. And for further analysis, principal and other diagnosis have been combined and are referred to as any varicella diagnosis. And this is represented by the yellow line. Additionally, this graph shows that the overall rate of varicella hospitalizations has decreased from 1990 to 2005. In 1990, there were 8.15 hospitalizations per 100,000 population, and this decreased to 1.87 hospitalizations per 100,000 population in 2005. The green arrow indicates the year of varicella vaccine licensure, which was in 1995. This slide shows the rate of hospitalizations with any varicella diagnosis by age. 0 to 4-year-olds have seen the most dramatic decrease in disease burden, followed by 5 to 9-year-olds. These data agree with data from 3 active surveillance sites in the United States, which have seen a decrease in the incidence of varicella, as well as varicella-related hospitalizations in all age groups. This graph shows the proportional breakdown of total varicella hospitalizations by age group from 1990 to 2005. There has been a shift in the age groups who experience the majority of the burden of disease from varicella, as indicated by the fact that in 1990, children and adolescents aged 0 to 19 made up 60% of the total number of varicella hospitalizations, but by 2005, this same population only accounted for 29% of varicella hospitalizations. So the 0 to 19-year-olds are in the blue, and the 20 and older are in the yellow. This slide shows the rate of varicella hospitalizations per 100,000 population broken down by selected race ethnicity from 1990 to 2005. The error bars on the trend lines represent the 95% confidence intervals for each point estimate. The graph indicates that before vaccine licensure, there were significant disparities between blacks and whites, with blacks being more likely to be hospitalized with varicella than whites. This disparity decreased substantially during the post-vaccine era. So the blue line represents white non-Hispanics, and the pink line represents black non-Hispanics. This is a very similar slide. It shows the rate of varicella hospitalizations per 100,000 population broken down by selected race ethnicity from 1990 to 2005, but this one compares Hispanics and white non-Hispanic. Again, before vaccine licensure, disparities existed between Hispanics and whites, with Hispanics being more likely to be hospitalized with varicella. During the post-vaccine era, these disparities decreased dramatically. So again, white non-Hispanic is represented by the blue, and Hispanics are represented by the orange colored line. This is a graph of the rate of varicella hospitalization among those who are immune compromised. The denominator in this case is all immune compromised coded hospitalizations for that year. You can see that among our defined immune compromised population, varicella hospitalizations have decreased over time from 80 per 100,000 population in 1990 to 37.6 per 100,000 population in 2005. And just to remind you that we define immune compromised coded conditions if they had a code that corresponded to HIV, AIDS, leukemia, malignancies, blood dyscrasia, and childhood immunodeficiencies. And this graph shows the proportion of those who are hospitalized with varicella and also have an immune compromised coded condition. The trend is toward a greater proportion of individuals who are hospitalized with varicella to also be immune compromised. The proportion of those who were hospitalized with varicella and had an immune compromised condition was 15.4% in 1990 and increased to 30.3% in 2005. Considering this graph and the last graph, you can see that although the proportion of those hospitalized for varicella who also have an immune compromised condition is increasing, the rate of varicella hospitalizations among the immune-compromised population is decreasing. Oops. Sorry. And this graph shows the number of deaths due to varicella in New York City from 1990 to 2004. The orange represents deaths where varicella was the underlying cause of death, and the blue represents deaths where varicella was a contributing cause of death. Deaths due to varicella as both the underlying cause and the contributing cause have decreased over time. From 2000 to 2004, there was an average 1.25 deaths per year due to varicella. There was an 86.4 reduction in deaths from the time period of 1990 to 1994 to the time period of 2000 to 2004. There are limitations to these data. It is important to note that I have mentioned varicella hospitalizations, but an individual may have been admitted or hospitalized for a different condition, and in addition to this condition, had a varicella diagnosis code. In this analysis, we were unable to distinguish between primary varicella and disseminated zoster. A substantial proportion of discharges are missing racial classification. In this analysis, 20% are categorized as other or unknown. And our race ethnicity data from the SPARCS database have not been validated. So from this data, we can conclude that varicella hospitalizations have decreased significantly since vaccine licensure in 1995. The majority of those now hospitalized for any varicella diagnosis are adults 20 years and older. A racial disparity in varicella hospitalizations has decreased substantially. However, blacks and Hispanics are still more likely to have a varicella-related hospitalization than whites. Work should be done to identify the factors that are contributing to remaining disparities in varicella-related hospitalizations. Additionally, we can conclude that the proportion of those hospitalized for varicella who also have an immune-compromised condition is increasing. However, the rate of varicella hospitalizations among the immune-compromised population is decreasing. And finally, deaths with varicella as both the underlying cause or the contributing cause have decreased since the implementation of the varicella vaccine. And these are just the individuals that I would like to acknowledge for their help and guidance on this project.
If there are any questions, please move to the microphone in the middle of the room.
I have a comment, an apology, and also a question. Poster 154 was supposed to be mine on the varicella death, and it was a very complicated situation, and we didn't have a final medical examiner death certificate in place in time to confirm the poster presentation. So I will submit that again next year, and it'll be complete. But in terms of the conditions that were looked at as immunocompromised, I will say that this young woman had Crohn's disease and was on Remicade for Crohn's disease. And so she was immunosuppressed as opposed to maybe the more traditional immunocompromised. So it's something to keep in mind with varicella. And the other question I had was for Savita. On your three people with severe illness and the one that was immunized, did that person have one dose or two?
Just one dose.
Thank you.
Raphael Harpa, CDC. For Janelle, I have not seen data on racial disparities like that. It was very, very interesting. Is that data corrected for age? It's not? Okay, thanks.
There's also an article published, and it was in Ohio, that they saw similar racial disparity reduction. So.
For the surveillance presenters, I wondered if you could comment on to what extent you're advocating lab confirmation for these diagnoses.
In Texas, we're not, the only time we do lab confirmation is if it's a known or if we're seeing an outbreak in the school setting and there's some question about it, then we're asking for lab confirmation. But if there's been physician based on just clinical, then we'll take that.
same for Florida. For Palm Beach, we are not.
I'd like to make a plug for lab diagnosis, Barb Watson, Philadelphia, because we found a lot of our outbreaks melt away when we get the lab diagnosis. And, you know, we will have some papers coming out about the accuracy of physicians to diagnose breakthrough. And Scott Schmidt's always willing to do our things.
Aisha Jaman, CDC also. Janelle, I want to take back the racial disparity issue. I think two things before we call it racial disparity, because the disparities were big. It wasn't, the magnitude was big. One is what Rafael had suggested, was to look at the age adjusted to see that that's not a contributing factor. But another one is also, you use census and to think about, has the population, either the African American or the Hispanics, in New York City changed quite a bit recently compared to the other years. So just look more carefully at the census. I also have a comment on the proportions. There were two slides in which you presented proportions, the 0 to 19 and then the 20 and over. I just want to make sure that we all understand that the proportion is because we have such a high reduction in disease in the younger age groups, then it seems like the older age groups, they are higher proportion of the cases, but as you said, with the immunocompromise, when you look at the rates, we also are seeing a decrease in the rates even among the adults who are not being vaccinated. So a proportion is nice to look at, but a rate would be a much better number to look at. Thank you.
So the slide before the proportion slide showed all age groups. I broke it down by all age groups, and there was a reduction in all age groups. So there was the rate there, too.